There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right before we just started, I told Maddie that a cat that we know who's recently deceased is, he said, oh, he's with Sophie, his dog. I'm like, no, there's a cat heaven, there's a dog heaven. His face. I did that just to prove you, just to say you were wrong. But I don't know if there's a dog. I don't know if the heavens are separate. I don't know. Maybe all pet heavens are the same.
You said it, and I went, I don't even want to debate this. And
I thought about it. I'm like, is pet heaven with the humans? No one gives a shit about this. Anyway, yo, this is Love is Blind.
Love is Blind.
I'm just going to keep drinking. Y'all, this is Love is Blind.
Look at my flow chart that I came up with. This is what I was going to start the show with. Look at it.
So, oh, of who's fucking who or who likes who?
Who's with who? Because we always get so confused at the beginning of this.
Especially this first episode, yeah.
I'm going to make a chart and add to it as we keep going. So it's going to kind of remind me who's who. So at least one of us will get it right.
I don't like this because this is gonna you're gonna get obsessed about this. Like it's like when you do the electoral college map during on election day.
I really enjoy that.
You do. You get very
I get obsessive about things. Yes, I get obsessive about diagrams. I understand things that way. It helps me organize this fragile thing we call life.
Funny enough though, I actually think the relationship, I feel like, just in this first episode, that the relationships of that people have with other people besides the person they're dating are going to come into focus more probably than other seasons.
You mean the rivalry between, let's say, Chelsea, Micah, and Amber?
Or really, Micah and the three guys that she wants all to commit to her and say, love me more than anyone.
Y'all, I'm going to bring this. I'm going to call these now. You have your primary care position, your PCP. I'm going to coin something called a PMP, a perfect match potential.
Oh, a perfect. She's going to be on perfect match.
Y'all,
that's for sure.
This is someone who is perfect for perfect match. This is where they all go shit out. They like some reality demon takes a big dump and sends them into the underworld that is perfect match.
It is. We're going to be doing that as our vicarious. We just haven't had time to do it.
And the actual world of perfect match is their toilet where they're all swimming around like little turds.
You know what? The good thing about us delaying the Bicurious is I think you've watched all of them, right?
I have watched all of it.
So I'll go ahead because I'm peaked now. I will watch all of them as well. And then we can talk about the whole season.
You just need to go up. One of the best parts of it is you need to get to like episode 3 and 4, and then more happens in 5 and 6. And then 7 and 8, things get a little slow and they start kind of repeating it. I just finished it because I needed to. It's kind of like jerking off that dick where they're taking a long time. You got carpal tunnel, but you've come this far.
you've already got a blister. You might as well pop it. Might as well pop it.
You know, that's the thing. I don't give up. When it gets when I'm there in the zone, it's either if there's not a little pool of semen in there, I didn't do my job.
That's true. Y'all, this is Love is Blind, your season 4, episode 1. Welcome to the pod. We are remote but goat, only because I was traveling and around a bunch of people, so we're just taking a day or two to be cautious. Probably tomorrow we'll be able to be together, but just much to Poodle's chagrin. But just let you know that we will be doing most of our Love is Blind in person. So just for this
season
episode, we're remote.
Four. We're in season 4, y'all. This is the season that is in Seattle. Season 4, episode 1. Welcome to the pods.
We have a gift, by the way. I forgot to tell you. I don't want to say.
I love when you tell me things on.
Well, I haven't seen you. I got it right before we went to Vegas. But we have a sissy. I don't want to say her name because I'm afraid that she'll get called out because she works at Netflix. And she sent us.
Oh, yeah. She sent. I told us what she said.
Two actual goblets of the Love is Blind. So
shut the fuck up. That was the gift.
That she sent us two actual gold Netflix, the goblets they use on Love is Blind, she sent them to us.
I am gooped right now.
I'm gooped.
I'm
gooped.
So excited to use those.
I am too. It came in this little box. You're going to love the packaging on them. They say Love is Blind on them. Thank you, Sissy, that starts with a C. That's all I'm going to say.
I am gooped. Sissy C, I'll look around in my DMs if I can find you.
Yeah, you might
be the one
without
a dick
there.
Pic. Yeah.
You know what? I will say I really appreciated this. One of my friends who like used to do porn, he just for my birthday, he said, "Here you go, here's a big pog." And he just sent me a fucking like just dick video of him swinging around his dick for his birthday. And I went, "Well, that's a nice thing to do for a friend."
I don't know if I'd want that from my actual friend.
We're not friends. Like, we're acquaintances. I wouldn't have sex with him because we're both two bottoms. But still, it was nice.
Does he do, like, porn still?
I think so. I don't know. He's just very sex positive. Also, haven't you slept with the... Like, I've never actually slept with any of my friends. How many of your own friends have you slept with?
How do you define friend?
That was a loaded question. I agree with that.
I will say, that's what they call me in college. There goes old loaded question.
Loaded question. Hey there, boy. Whoop, I'm dripping.
I'm a question mark. Here's the issue. I would never expect a birthday gift from one of those friends, if that makes sense.
I enjoyed it.
That's where I'm saying that's the distinction that, but you know what? With gay men, it's like, who even knows? Yeah. Who even knows? Anyway.
It's like sending an HBD. It's just sending a BDD.
I've said HBD before, but I don't know. I kind of think, you know how I feel about the Happy Birthday song in general. I sang it quite loudly and very extraly at your birthday dinner in Vegas.
You did.
And there was footage on our Instagram about it. And someone said, "Wow, that's extra."
That's Poodle.
If I'm going to sing it, I'm going to take the high note.
Same. All right, back to this. So, y'all, normally as we go along and people start to couple up, we usually break people up into couples. This first episode is like Poodle and I at a college football game. It's just everywhere.
Pass around, yeah. Paulie. Yeah.
So we're going to kind of probably go more in the order that we kind of experience things.
I will say.
Don't say this flow chart.
My flow chart. that I'm showing you now really helped.
Oh, God.
Look at it. Look at it. Do you
see it? I see it.
That really helped me because I was confused. What do you think, just now, y'all, this is episode one, so a lot of times we don't meet everybody in this episode. And
I hope we get more of Ryland. Ooh, he's hot.
Oh, he is. We barely saw him.
Barely saw him, yeah.
But I think who we only get, I'll count this for you. We get 4 men and 6 women. We get it extended. We see others, but there was a little bit of Jacquelina in there, but who never really came to anything. I think we're going to see her more in episode 2.
Talk about extra.
I kind of love her, though. So in general, we only got about 10-ish people. And who knows, maybe these are the 10. Because y'all, you know, their habit is they move forward with 5 couples.
Yeah.
So who knows? Although there's only 4. No, that's not true. There are 4 men. So we're going to need at least one other man because we're not doing the same sexa thing yet.
Did we have a proposal in episode 1 last season? I thought we did.
I think we did.
I thought we had
I think it was Alexa and Brayden.
And Brennan.
Brennan. Yeah. Boy, God, I hate them.
I know.
Remember, y'all, if you are new to... Are you new? If you're kind of coming back, if Love is Blind is the only thing you watch, since...
Sorry, I had to mute my microphone and yell at the Alexa because I said her name and she went off. And it was some, and it hurt me. So it was giving me like a 2-minute explanation. And y'all, you couldn't hear, but I could hear it.
He muted his thing and I heard, and I like he was like, and I was like, what's happening? It was because Alexa was said.
Yes. Yes.
I hate them. They're insufferable on Instagram.
There's anyway. Not really anyone. I mean,
the only 2 people who are together are Colleen and Matt and Alexa and Brennan.
The person that I love the best, honestly, from last season of Love is Blind is I do love Nancy, but the person that I love the most is Raven, mainly because I just related to her so much of just similar experiences. But
Raven for me.
I did not see that coming. Did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I did not like her at first.
It was an extremely messy season. I was a Raven fan from the beginning. And I know a lot of people weren't. But I get it. I get the way they were trying to show her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that season was messy, especially the after parts of it.
Well, I got to say, though, after Raven, watching all of this now, and just because whatever, but I don't trust anyone anymore on this show. Because remember, I thought he was like odd, and the guy Raven was with, I can't even remember his name now, but isn't it funny how
SK.
It all just goes SK? But I never expected like the level of duplicity that he did to her.
I think it's that my opinion there is we never really got to know him.
We never really got to know him. So now as I'm watching all these men and women, maybe the men more because I'm just more suspicious of the men, but I'm just kind of like, are you just saying this? Are you just... So I feel myself being very suspicious of going into this.
I think that might be
season.
A little personal thing. So maybe maybe just have a little distance.
But you know what? This is
I'm
going
to ask you to do that. How about
I will say this. This is a little bit vulnerable moment. And this is what I love about Love is Blind is that a lot of couples I know say they watch this because wherever you are in a relationship or not in a relationship, you can't help but think about that or bring that into when you watch Love is Blind. And watching it now that I'm
true.
out of a relationship, it's a very different experience for me than when I was in one before.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Do you have similar things like that? I know you don't have a boyfriend, but I know that you like you're trying to get at
seeing
this guy.
Someone.
You're trying to get this guy to sign a will right now. So you're really in something right now just to get that alimony.
Really trying to cut him off from his family. Oh, it's proving more difficult than I thought.
Ooh. I know. As soon as what's his name said his mother died, I'm like, Poodle would have said,
"Marry
me."
I was walking out of the room and I was like, what? Even though your mother's alive, how old are they? Are they in good health?
Are they involved a lot with your finances?
Mm-hmm. If they had to, could they fly here immediately to visit you in the hospital? And how quickly could they get here? Do they understand complex legal jargon?
Stop it!
No lawyers in the family, right? No lawyers. No lawyers at all. It's better that way.
Okay.
But the one, my big takeaways with this season, with the people we know so far, the four men and six women, and y'all, there are other people, but they tended, what we do on our show is we only are going to focus on the longer sit-downs. When people are sharing and doing what I don't know if we called this, but I've been thinking about a way to describe it. It's kind of like victimized vulnerability when they shout their traumas at the other person without. Now, we don't know a lot of times how intense these dates are, but it does feel like they're encouraged to share some type of horrible story.
Very much
so. It always feels like it's too soon, and the other person has to be there to kind of as a sounding board and say, I'm so sorry that happened. And the other person takes that as, that's so brave of you to share that with me. You mean someone I barely know. In a way, it's easier to share something. Real vulnerability is sharing someone where there may be a cost to sharing something with someone.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's not that I'm not saying these people aren't being vulnerable, but it's a forced vulnerability, and it always feels mechanized. In the first episode, anyway. However, I do want to talk about the one thing we're going to talk about later with Brett. I don't feel like that was forced.
I agree with you, and I don't agree with you. I agree with you that I think there is a production's hand in it, but I also feel like you know, we both have had experience a lot with like summer camps and things like that. And there is, when you're in this pressure cooker, trauma bonding happens sooner than normal in real life.
Oh yeah. I think that's definitely.
But that said, it's just, yes, you know, production's like, hey, did you talk about your brother yet?
Have you talked about your mom who was a stripper?
Yeah. So let's get into it.
In general, I think this cast is full of normies, which I really enjoy.
It is that I will say that for the most part of who we've seen, I mean, they're all good looking people, but they're good looking people. There's a few of them that are like gorgeous, but they're all good looking people that would be in your neighborhood or your hometown.
I agree. And it's not like there's not a lot of, so think of someone like Shane from season 2.
Do I have to?
But I'm saying his looks, there was something about him that looked like he's attractive, but he you don't see people who look like him.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to think of someone else. Bartice. There's no Bartices here, y'all. Almost everyone's older.
No Ravens here.
That's true. I mean, Ravens drop dead gorgeous. And
Ravens
the women are
gorgeous.
The women are beautiful.
Pretty, but they are, I will say, different body types. And also, we have some of the oldest daters we've had on Love is Blind.
Tiffany is 36.
Don't you dare say a bad word about her.
Listen, I love her. I'm a huge fan.
I love Timothy.
I'm a huge fan.
Oh, God. Oh, God, Timothy.
Tiffany Van Winkle, who just couldn't stay awake because someone sprinkled sleep dust in her eyes while Brett was pouring out his fucking heart to her. Y'all, Tiffany's going to be sent sleeping memes for the rest of her life.
The rest of her life.
It's going to be hard to outlive this.
Wait a minute. Is that why they don't have older people on the show? Because they all keep falling asleep. I mean, think about it. You're laying on a couch. You got a blanket over you. You're comfortable. What are you going to do? You've had a drink or two. What are you going to do?
That's true. My stomach's riding up. My shirt's riding up.
Your shirt's riding up. You're falling asleep.
I'm falling asleep.
I would go on Love is Blind. I realized after watching the show, now that I'm single, I would do it.
I think I would become a villain quick.
Oh, yeah, you would.
And I don't think, unlike other shows where there's a strategy of winning money, I think I would be too competitive and I would not, it's not the kind of show that would do well for me. I would not be liked.
I think I could do it. I think I would do well for the experiment.
You think you would find your love?
I would. Oh, I'd drink the Kool-Aid for sure.
And then what would happen later on?
Oh, he'd probably break my heart. It'd be fine, you know, but that's, you know.
What if you got to the reveal and it was Hervé Villechaize?
I don't know who that is.
That was the little person who's passed now, in Fantasy Island.
Okay. All right. That's a really fucking dated reference. Look, boss, the play. That's a really dated reference.
But I'm just saying, I've said this before. If I think
I would want to see, that's the difference, I think, why I'm a better suited for this show, is that I would drink the Kool-Aid of the experiment and say, this isn't about looks. This is about me loving someone for who they are, and I'm going to roll with it.
And when the thing went up and I saw Hervé Villechaize, I would say, I think I left a pan on the stove. And just take off like the Roadrunner.
You would. Boom! You would. It's why you're not a great fit for this show.
I'm not. No, definitely not. Put me on the Traitors, Big Brother, The Mole, anything that's competitive. I'm not a good fit for this show. Perfect match, yes.
Oh, that's true.
Anyway, they'll do the gay one and I'll just like fuck everybody.
I don't know how they would do a gay one because...
It'd be hard. It'd be really hard. There was Francesca who was interested in both men and women, or as she said, everybody.
Well, but on Love is Blind, I don't know how they would do that. So, but anyway, that's a theory for us to go about. And honestly, this show was too good. I can't believe I'm saying this episode was too good for us not to go off on tangents about it. We've got to focus on the show.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break now so we can just, this is a free feed show, our first one.
Oh, because once we get going,
I know,
we're not going to stop. That's true. Okay, so for y'all that are wondering, this is a free feed show.
For the first episode.
The rest of the season, some of y'all have been listening, we've been on the free feed. We've been dropping season 2 and anticipation for this episode, for season 4. So, but we, after this, it will go on the $5 tier, correct, Poodle, of Reality Guys Plus?
Yes.
It's going to go on the $5 tier that's commercial free with the $5.
Give me your money.
Wow. with Reality Guys.
It's money well spent.
It is. Reality Guys, for the price of a cup of coffee, you're going to get all his Love is Blind. You're also
you can
get
help our children.
Yeah. Well, I'm not Sally's. I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to say her name because she'll die. But we're not that person that starts. Yeah. But You can also get old episodes of 90 Day Fiancé, Classless. You can also get our monthly Bi-Curious episode, which this month we're going to, or when we get it, we're going to be doing the
Perfect Match.
Perfect Match. So that all that's going to get. So you think about that while we go to commercial.
We're back. Let's get into the cast. Let's just dig in.
Sure.
First person, Chelsea. White woman, fun. I like her. Blonde.
I feel like she would play tennis.
Sure.
I liked her a lot too.
She is with her first, long sit down is with Kwame.
Yes.
Who is a
cute.
Former soccer player.
Ooh, good calves, good ass.
Had an injury. And Kwame basically says, I felt the need to impress based on my appearance as a black man. And then I've had people say that they said you couldn't date. They shamed me for dating, or I could not pick up my girlfriend.
No, he said he couldn't pick up his prom date.
Prom date, that's what
he couldn't pick it up his prom date because he was black. Right. So I want to take a moment. Actually, I'm really glad. I think this is the first time they actually talked about race in this way on Love Is Blind, because he is a dark.
I think you might be right.
Yeah, no, I think he is. He's a dark skinned black man, which is very different than someone like Bartiz, who's a light skinned black man. Yeah.
And he said he was going to use the name Alex.
He talked about using
less,
a different
quote
name.
Unquote ethnic.
Ethnic, yeah. But also he always says, when I meet someone, I have to tell them I have a master's degree. I have to tell them I'm successful. Right. Like, because I am sure that he gets people that say to him all the time, oh, you're so articulate when you speak and shit like that. So we've talked about it on our podcast about it, but I'm so glad now they're finally bringing in this conversation of this takes out race in dating on Love Is Blind, unless you're that one guy who's a total douche, who is asking the women if they're Asian. God, that
I wrote
guy.
It down. Billy, absolute tool.
Yeah, Billy's not here for long, y'all.
Yeah, he's kind of like he's a less interesting Andrew.
I like Chelsea. I like Kwame too. I get a little bit of. I need to spend more time with him because I don't know because of the whole, I'm a black man and I always tell you, I always have to say,
you're on the same page as me.
I feel like he's having to people please a lot.
I'm with you.
I don't feel like we really know who he is yet. And I do think that's interesting. I think you can draw, not in a lot of ways, I'm not going to call him a cheater. I think you can draw parallels, though, from SK, who is also an educated, dark-skinned black man, and what he felt as far as, like, how he had to present to people.
Interestingly, I think it's interesting to compare those two. SK did not share. He shared almost literal
Nothing.
Details, but not a whole lot of emotion.
Yes, that compare and contrast, and that Kwame does seem way more authentic. And you're so right. We never really knew SK. I don't really feel like I don't know Kwame. It just feels like Kwame is, I'm getting to know him, but only the confident parts of himself and the best parts of himself.
Yeah. He basically, so the next date Kwame has in the triangle is with Micah. Micah is a perfect match potential.
Perfect match potential. Micah's 28.
26.
Yeah, 26. Oh, I can't read that.
Yeah. 26. Y'all, this is a fiercely competitive person and does not like, and for her, I'm going to say this now. Hopefully I'm wrong. This woman came in here to win.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Villain alert, villain alert, villain alert, villain alert.
This woman came in here to win and get what she wanted by whatever means necessary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she is extremely threatened when other women are dating men that she's interested in, and works aggressively to try to make her competition disappear. So Micah wants to talk about things like she's an empath, she loves to manifest, and Kwame says, oh yeah, I'm totally into the laws of attraction. Y'all, Kwame is meeting her where she is.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a problem for him because he's going to be, we already said before, he's code switching here. He's people pleasing. And so he's going to attract, if not two women, possibly three.
I agree with that. I think the problem with people pleasers, and I know this, I think like three people would like me to Love and Blind. Maybe not anybody after they saw me, but
that's me.
But you're right. Because of that people pleasing in him, this is the kind of the genesis of why he gets all these people that like him. But boy, Micah,
this is a dangerous person for him.
I don't believe it. Yes, it is. I don't believe a word she's saying about herself.
Absolutely not. No. Y'all, we all know this girl. We went to high school with this girl. We know who this person is.
Yeah.
This is someone who needs to win and beat other women.
I can't stand her duck lips either. They're too much filler.
She lets you in. She's the female version of Bartice. That's what she is. And she lets you in when she needs you.
That's really a good comparison. That's a very good comparison.
I think Bartice, looking back, I think Bartice is going to be a model for all types of bad Love is Blind contestants. Because Bartice is one of the worst.
He was bad.
Yeah. And Andrew, hopefully we get another Andrew. We're kind of getting there with a little bit of what Zach does. And I'm going to talk about Zach in a minute.
I want to talk about feel a little more authentic, but
I agree. But also one of these people it's no coincidence that Zach is a lawyer. And no. I know we have a lot of lawyer sissies out there listening. Lawyer sissies know lawyers.
I will say, and I'm bringing this up because we're going to talk about it later, Micah says things like, Kwame's already saying Micah's my number one, and whereas Micah's saying, I love talking to him. I love talking to him so much. And Micah says, it makes me nervous to realize, well, it's on the inside of me and the internal, and that's what Kwame does to me. Cut to, then Paul comes in. Paul 28, who's an environmental scientist, or I wrote, and let's see if I'm right, or AKA Poodle's type.
Yeah. He's from New Orleans. Y'all, there's a lot of Pauls in New Orleans. Straight boys who think they're sensitive. But here's the thing, y'all. Sadly, Paul's a dick. Paul is a dick who masquerades as a nice guy.
He gave me the skeeziest fucking vibes. Whereas, like, you know who he reminded me of? And maybe I'll change. He gave me the same feelings we first had when we met Barnett. And the first vibes when we first started to meet Cole. Because he's that guy that, like, everything's cool. Everything's great. I love everything. Yeah. Whereas we realized Barnett and Cole actually... Both, I think, Barnett had the actual heart, and Cole, because I like Barnett, and Cole had just a naivete and not an emotional intelligence.
He needed to perform.
I think Paul has a bit of that, like, underneath, I'm going to say whatever I need to say just to win.
Y'all, Paul was his mother's favorite son. He might have been the only one. He might have been one of several. This is mama's boy talk. You're able to go out into the world. You're having adventures, but mama's still your number one gal. I can't wait till we meet Mama Paul.
I agree with that. And also because, y'all, it's this, yes, it's competitiveness, but He's a scientist. So everything is not emotional to him. It's all analytical. It's all what gives him the best optics for the, quote, best success.
This is a dangerous person. And I'm gonna follow up on what you just said by being a scientist and by being able to regulate his emotions, but sometimes not being able to regulate them. This person's gonna get messy with 2 to 3 people in the house because he's a smooth talker. And he's already talking about my favorite place to go is Italy. And she's like, oh, I love everybody. Positano. Y'all, everyone loves Positano. So
I mean, it's for a good reason. It looks unbelievably gorgeous. Beautiful.
But he's like, well, when we get married, we're going to go back there. I know that some women find these things, either they laugh about it and they're joking. This is a really, really light touch way of grooming.
I hate to use
that term, but it feels that way.
I know I got on a kick about this, but here I go again. Future faking.
It is.
Future faking.
You're right.
Narcissism. This is a part of narcissism because not only does he do this with her, he does it later on.
He does it with all the women he's with.
You say something good and they say, oh, well, when we get married or when he's doing this, y'all, and I don't have time to explain it, but Google future faking. It's on YouTube. But this is a classic, and I think he is. It's a classic sign of narcissism.
I also will say this person is very intelligent and it makes him even more dangerous.
Yes, he will become a victim. He will martyr himself when someone upsets him this season.
Right now, I can picture him at the center of most of the drama between the women.
Ding, 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 ding. I love this show.
And it's going to be bad. And women are going to fight over him. And Micah is involved. You got Paul and Micah in the same cast. And it's like putting, what's the things that explode together? Someone's screaming.
Poop water and poop water.
Greeny.
I don't know.
Paul! Nitroglycerin. It's like nitro and glycerin together.
Do you think they will get together? I don't think they are.
Oh, I do.
You think Paul and Micah will get together?
Mm-hmm. Well, you saw at the end. He basically, we're going to talk about that as we keep going.
Yeah, that's
true. He basically says, let's not date anybody else. You know why? She says that. Because she sees him getting close to Amber. And y'all, so she's basically cutting Amber off at the knees here.
She is.
These two people in one season and these... I'm surprised. It's like two cats fighting in an oat sack.
It's like, yes, she's getting played by... The player's getting played by someone else. Did cats ever fight in oat sacks?
It's just a phrase I've heard, like two cats in an oat sack. You know who used to say that? Fred Kern from UNT, who's dead now.
Oh, I loved him. What a queen.
He was so gay.
I loved him.
Anyway, so let's move on to our next participant of La Ronde. If you've ever seen the movie La Ronde, it's just with one person, with the next man, and the next woman, and the next man, and they're all kind of like fucking each other, and then makes a circle.
I don't think many of us have seen that movie.
Some French film person just went, ah, they're talking about La Ronde!
Wow. Wow, that's
also Hello Again is based on it. That film. Because one person with the next person. It's a pretty apt comparison, actually.
I don't really know the musical. I just know the music. I don't know the book.
But you noticed that everyone was like the soldier would sleep with someone and then the wife would go sleep with that other person. You knew they slept together, right? Just for clarity.
No, I just know the music. I don't know the book at all. This is where someone said, I'm not paying $5 for this.
Wow. I think it was a play first.
We got to move on. We need to move on.
But it's about a circle. They all kind of, it's almost like a daisy chain that I did in high school and college.
Oh, okay. Now you got me back with the daisy chain. That makes sense.
So suspect in our rond is Amber, like the stone. And Paul is talking to Amber, Paul Nola, and you can tell that Paul.
Do you notice when she said? She said, I was named after the stone. And Paul said, oh, yeah, my dad loves stones, too. I was like, your dad did not love stones.
Well, here's the thing. You can tell Paul is barely listening because he says, what's your name? Oh, I just told you, Amber. And so he's like, yeah, I've been studying. Like, I'm an environmental scientist. I studied sharks and I blah, blah, blah. And then he uses the Italy line again. My favorite country is Italy. Oh, I want to go to Italy, y'all. You could fill out. Paul is like trying to find the least common denominator to bang women.
He literally watched Eat, Pray, Love and said, that's how you get a woman.
He took a class from the pickup artist.
He watched that. He watched Under the Tuscan Sun. He was like, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
Chocolat. He got it.
Chocolat. That is a fabulous movie. Juliette Binoche. So, Amber, we do find out, and I don't know if this has happened on Love is Blind before. I know we've had people who've been married once. Amber's been married twice before. She's a flight attendant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she does say, now I know what I want. But at that time, I did not know what I wanted. I find Amber's at a different stage of her life than a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. Paul is 28 years old. I don't think he's been married. I would seriously doubt if Paul has been in extremely long relationships. I would seriously doubt that.
Yeah, I would doubt that.
Interesting.
Too.
Again, we see a little bit of Jacquelina. She is probably going to show up, hopefully in episode 2. I need to see more from her. I need her to be in that final five.
They used her to kind of explain kind of the duds, like this guy, Chris, who said, yeah, I get bloody noses all the time. And I made out with a girl one time and my nose started bleeding.
Great.
It's like when I went on the date with that guy and he said, oh, I'm going to the dentist because I'm working on this issue that I have really bad breath all the time.
she got a lot of losers.
What do you
Let's
say?
Move on. Let's move on to Tiffany and Brett. And y'all, they're in a whole other... They are in, according to my flowchart, as you will see it here.
No, I'm sorry, I'm sick of this.
They are on the corner, and they're all like in a whole other quadrant. They're only seeing each other. Get ready to, bitch, that flowchart is staying around because I'm going to have to fucking explain it to you.
Don't analyze them because this is all emotional because this is all, so this is love.
But I'm going to say it's not. It's not that kind of Lauren Cameron. I think these are two people who are guarded. Tiffany, not as much. Brett, who is extremely guarded.
Extremely. Tiffany's 36. She's a client recruiter. Brett is 35. He's a design director. And I bring that up because a lot of people don't talk about their work, but Tiffany and Brett both have found a lot of meaning from their work, and it gives them a lot of validation that Tiffany's very successful.
That's a good
Brett
point.
Brett is not college educated, and he ended up building this design career and now designs for, he didn't say the word, but you can tell he designs for Nike. He designs their shoes. And so
she basically said later on in one of their meetings that I would have never met Brett in the regular dating world because I would have heard he didn't have a college degree and I would have completely dismissed him. But he is successful. He has, he's worked his way to get there and, he's worked really hard and now he works at fucking Nike.
He's cute too. She's beautiful. They're both good looking.
You're
people.
Right. She is my favorite of this season so far. I enjoy her.
I think they're going to be okay after Sleepgate, but we'll see. I don't know. The thing about Brett is Brett's got a lot of trauma. And again, this is important, I think too, just because of what, it's really black men in America are told not to be vulnerable. And he's a black man. I don't want to say black. I don't know what her race is, but a woman of color.
Yeah.
But for him to have this vulnerable moment, that's not kind of validated. Ooh.
I was worried about that too. We'll talk about Sleepgate near the end. Cause that was the very end.
It's hard to not keep bringing it up because it was gagging.
Let's talk about the next person in the line, in the daisy chain. And but actually,
we,
this
oh
is,
no,
this
we're bringing is, out the flow chart
this
again.
Is a, this is a separate daisy chain. So we meet Zach, who basically says, "I'm a stripper," as a joke. And this is someone who's not taking the experiment kind of seriously. You already feel like, oh, this is another dick. However, he starts getting, he's like, I'm meeting these women. I should really, I don't have much time. I'm gonna stop doing this. And he basically, then he tells, starts to, Arena is the woman he starts talking to. He's
She's,
like, I'm a,
Zach, I forget his age, but Arena is
25. I didn't write down the age. Thank you. He's a defense attorney. And he said, I was judging all these girls, and I was joking with all these girls, but I need to take it a lot more seriously. And Zach, now I don't know what meeting this is for he and Arena, but he basically says, this is what I'm calling this kind of like forced vulnerability, when the other person just has to kind of sit there and listen to you tell mm-hmm. your trauma story. And again, maybe this is production makes this happen. It's not my favorite thing. I get it that it makes people kind of.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or is it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens. Love yourself, everybody.
never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
It makes people, like, it raises the stakes so high. But it's a, like we've said this before, it's a very forced way to get together. And maybe they just don't have a lot of time. But
well, I like a little bit of what we learn about. So she's young, but for the most part, I like Irina. I like her. She talks about having bad acne.
Moved to Russia as a child. She had a bad acne, right.
But this is before she even meets him. She talks about in her just own talking head moment, she had really bad acne as a child, so it made her insecure.
But she says, I think I'm a bombshell.
Yeah. And she's like, I really want to go about the energy of someone. She says, I don't care about the physical appearance at all. She said, my face is going to change. My hair is going to change. My body's going to change.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So she is very, I just want to point this out. She, y'all don't pull over. We got a policeman coming. But she is kind of what people, the perfect prototype to be in the experiment.
Yeah. I wonder how much that's true.
That's why I say like she presents herself that way, but she gets involved in the drama in the women's quarters.
Yeah. Oh yes. So y'all, Zach has been, who's been telling people he was a stripper, says finally
to Irina.
Here's the thing to Irina. My mom was a single mom. She was a stripper. And, we were going through the drive through one time and she didn't have enough money to pay for my meal and she broke down. And she was an amazing woman. She died. It's an extremely distanced way he's describing it.
He's like,
went on autopilot, and then I passed the bar, and I wrote down, is this the editing or just really, really forced vulnerability?
I think both.
But Zach says, I want a whole life dedicated to serving other people, which is, he's a defense attorney. So, and that's when Irina says, I moved here from Russia as a child. My family didn't have much. Sometimes we had nothing to open at Christmas. And again, I feel like the thing about forced vulnerability is that then the other person has to open up. So I understand how it's a great tool for your Love is Blind producers, but there's just something about it that feels not good to me. And it's weird. I know when it feels real, like when Brett opened up to Tiffany, I felt that was precipitated by them talking about marriage.
And you don't think this has anything to do with you being a gay man and we wait about 7 months before we even tell someone our middle name?
I'm not familiar.
but I'm just saying
they don't
that
need to know your middle name. They don't need to know my fucking middle name. They don't even know my last name.
But I just want to say, I think this is why, like, we joke about it, but why a lot of lesbian relationships, why they bond quickly, because they get vulnerability much quicker than we do.
You'll enjoy this. When I had, you know me, I don't put someone's name in my phone for a lot of reasons. And the guy I was seeing saw that on text, he was just coming up as a number after he had put my name in there. And I just didn't want to like go to the trouble of putting his name in. And I said, oh, I'll put your name in there. But he had noticed.
Wow.
And I went,
you've been dating for like a while.
No, this was a while back.
Oh, this is a while back.
This was like in January.
Oh.
So it'd been like 3 months.
But still, like when I go on a date, I just want to put their name so I know their name of who they are, just so I don't
know. No, you don't know with one date.
I don't.
It's avoidant. I'm aware.
Okay, you said it. Because what if you go on one date that's terrible, and what if 3 months they get drunk or high or whatever the fuck, and then they text you like a dick pic, and you go, oh, that looks like a good dick, and then you say, yeah, let's do it, and then you show up, and it's the guy you went on the date with that was terrible. You know,
that's happened before. So, but I can always scroll up and figure out who it is.
Oh, see, if I don't go on a date with, maybe I don't need to do that. If I go on a date with someone I don't like, I'll just delete their number. But you're right. I shouldn't delete their text history.
No. Why do you delete their number?
Because I'm like, I'm done. I don't need you. I'm done. I'm out.
That's true. I don't block their number, though. Why would you?
I just delete.
What if they have to tell you they have an STD? Not saying this ever happened to me.
This is getting too real. We need to move on to the show.
So, Zach basically says, so I had people in my past that I was in love with, and their family judged me because of how I was raised. And y'all, Arena's super into him.
Oh, yeah.
The part in the love triangle now, the Triangle of Sadness, great film, by the way, didn't win any Oscars, but I loved that film. Dolly de Leon, that it was the one Rob, I think, that I was shocked that she did not get an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress. But the Best Supporting Actress field this year was extremely crowded. So I get it.
We already talked about this on Darcy and Stacey.
That's true. All right. I love Triangle of Sadness. I think you can see it on right now. You can see it on Prime. It's a fantastic movie by Ruben Östlund.
They're not paying for a sponsorship.
I wish you would. I'd pitch your movie. Anyway, then Zach sees Bliss. And Bliss is a fisherwoman from Alaska.
Alaska.
And Zach is already saying things like, you're a 10 on an intellect. Y'all, this is a lawyer. This guy knows how to rope him in. This guy might wind up proving me wrong, maybe. I don't think Michael will.
I don't think Michael's going to prove you wrong. I don't think Paul is either. I think this guy, I don't know if Zach is a bad dude or if he's just fucking wounded.
That's what I agree with you. I'm not sure. So then we're in this weird place where he's like, so what's your favorite song? And I go, okay, now we can really get some stuff from people. Anytime. I can't hear it. You muted it.
It won't play. Something's wrong with my phone.
This is ridiculous.
I was trying to play I Hope You Dance.
Okay, you need to edit all that shit out. All the dead air. Lord. Cut. Here, I'm going to play it. Cut.
It's because I'm in my headphones.
Well, let me do it.
Here. I'm going to pause it. I'm going to pee real quick. Oh boy.
It's a long intro.
This is a long intro, boy. Just get to it, Leanne. I hope you dance. All right, we get it.
This is I Want Your Pussy song. This is an I Want Your Pussy song. Come on.
That song was very, very, very popular. It kind of feels like someone saying, you know, my mom loved this song, you know, that Titanic song. And she goes, yeah, I know all the words to that. You know all the words.
You know all the words to My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah. Wow. I do too. I went, that song was a fucking massive song.
Now, do you think they both sung it and the camera cut away because of rights issues?
Yep.
Yeah. So I know that people at home are very upset. I don't know if it's illegal to sing the first, to sing it, not play it. It might not be to sing it.
I don't know. Maybe they can't sing. All I know is it's fucking like, again, it's literally like saying, what? You know every note to the Star Wars theme?
Or, you know what my favorite song is? What's that one that sounds like, you know, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. How I wonder what... I think that's my favorite song. Sing that song I like. Row, row, row,
row your row, boat.
Your boat. And that's a Troll 2 reference. Sorry if you've never seen that. Sing that song I like.
So...
this was such garbage.
But
it almost felt like he had like studied her beforehand. That's what made it weird.
But depending on when his mother died... it could have been the song that was popular at the time.
Right.
So it could make sense. Again, I don't know.
I'm dead inside, so I don't care.
Yeah, she's crying about it, though. That is a beautiful song.
But for her, she's like, that was the song that my mom dedicated to me. And they can both sing it from memory. And then he's like, a moment in serendipity. We had a moment. And Bliss is like, I need a hug.
Can I just say, though, I actually like that she was crying. She walked out of the pod and she turned to the other women and she said, I need a hug. Y'all, sometimes we do need a hug. You don't need a hug, but some people do it. I'm glad that she asked that. But she's crying and so they've trauma bonded now.
Yeah.
And then we get this montage of, they're doing face mask. There's somebody named Ava and JP. Like, we kind of see.
Ava's the official black woman on this season because she's never chosen, but she's always talking to the women.
Remember there always is
the black
that woman
last season who is always everyone's confidant? Yes. Ava is every woman's confidant, and I don't think she's going to be chosen.
I don't think so either, but there's always. There is, they did explain this season. They didn't really do this last year. They just kind of showed us. But this time, they say that they have games they can play together. They have mm-hmm. music they can listen to. There's all these activities they can do in the pods.
Yeah.
So that kind of explained. So, which basically means they're glossing over it. So now Micah is talking about how she's excited about Kwame and she's excited about Paul. And then, so she goes into a pod meeting with Paul, and we hear Paul saying, I want to pick you up, and I want you to put your legs around me and make out. And that's again, that is, you don't look at it, but that is future faking. And
yeah,
it also
you're right, exactly right. Go ahead.
Because he's talking about when they get out of the pods, and also this, I just want to talk about the difference of the way, like, I think the way Kwame talked about how he would have sex with Chelsea and how they would be intimate with some
that was
way
hot.
More. But it was hot because it was a way more authentic way of connecting. Whereas Paul, you can tell you're so right. He just wants to fucking bang her.
Yeah. Like when he was talking about the song, it was all a pickup line.
No, Zach was talking about the song.
Oh, whatever. Fuck it. That's going to happen.
They're playing. You look at your flowchart.
And that's why I made it.
Y'all, Poodle's flowchart, because I want to make you do it. It's going to be posted on Instagram.
Yes, you might want to. It's a good idea.
You might want to take a picture of it for maybe each episode or maybe at the end.
I need to clean it up. Yeah.
Why don't you color code it as well? It helps people.
Ooh, don't tempt me with a good time. Ooh. The more I can organize, y'all. And I've got stars by the ones who have more than one person attached to them. Oh, and right God. Now, that's Kwame, Micah, Paul, and Zach.
All right. So we meet Brett and Tiffany for kind of like their
official. Like
official.
And they're wearing teal.
Matching shirts, yes.
Yeah. And... that's when we mentioned this before. They were talking about, and she said, "You know, they told me I had great lips for the flute, They told me that too.
Oh, Lord.
But I chose to play the skin flute, unlike Tiffany, who went to the drums.
She went to the drums. Poodle said, no, I know a flute that's calling mm-hmm. my name.
I know what I'm called to do. Mm-hmm. My embouchure speaks for itself.
I bet you so many guys talk, when you are sucking their dick, talk about the way your lips look, and you just play all into that.
Fuck
you?
Yeah, they do. I practice my flute sardonic smile. My wow. Woodwind Methods teacher said, your mouth is actually perfect for the flute. I'm like, yeah, sometimes you're born to suck dick. Sorry, Mom.
Jay Bird.
God, you can't say that.
I can't say that. I thought you were born to... I don't know.
No. So he basically, and Brett, because they're talking about this, Brett says, you know, at a weird time, and this is not forced vulnerability. He wants to share with her because they have enough emotional capital between them to explain a little bit of his childhood because she just shared hers.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the forced vulnerability that we've seen before. I really want to be careful in drawing these and showing how they're different because it made itself super apparent to me in this episode.
Yeah.
And it's a problem we've had. You know what it is? It's a problem like when Bartice told that story, that long meandering story about his father and his other mistress and Raven was doing calisthenics. I'm like, well, I was bored too.
Now I'm glad she was.
You know what? I said that and I was rebuked for saying that. And I was Team Raven from the beginning and I still am. So basically he said, when I was in fifth or sixth grade, my family started degrading and our power and water were turned off and I couldn't have people over because I was embarrassed. And he said it turned
him into what I liked about this. That what I think was different is, if I can add a bit of specificity, if I think of why this felt like authentic vulnerability rather than just reporting to Trauma Bond, mm-hmm. y'all, and this is something to be aware of. When someone starts bombing you with vulnerability bombing you, sometimes they just report something happening and they just tell the story and that's it. That's not the best sign. But when someone like Brett tells you a story and then says, that turned me into a quiet kid. It made me withdraw. It mm-hmm. really helped. He talked about how that affected him emotionally.
And explains.
That is a more authentic. And then he said that's what helped led him to designing shoes. Someone saw him on Instagram and now he's at Nike. Anyway.
And she says, you're an amazing person. And that is so authentic
yeah.
from her to hear that. And I teared up at that moment. And
oh God.
And that's when she said I wouldn't have dated Brett because he doesn't have a college degree and I would immediately dismiss that being who I am. So y'all, let's move on to some house drama. This is like Facts of Life and Micah is Blair.
Girls! Girls!
Girls! Girls, please stop fighting! Girls!
Girls!
Last night, Snake took my virginity.
Wow.
So, y'all, Amber literally is talking about Paul in the room. And basically, Amber and guess who? Micah hears about it and is very evident. And Amber's super into Paul.
Yeah.
And Micah considers this a huge threat. So the next date, y'all, the editors are not fools here. The mm-hmm. next date is between Micah and Paul. And y'all, she is immediately, and I don't know if we've seen this before.
Oh, we haven't.
We've seen it a little later, I think, in the dating pool where it's obvious certain people are dating.
And also, can I just say, it's understood that that's going to happen in this type of experiment. And no one actually takes it. They get, no one blames the other women.
Right.
Or the guys don't blame the other men.
No.
For finding attractions. This is a whole different thing.
Yeah. Micah is involved with not necessarily telling the other women that she's going to do this, but she is in there to stomp out attraction. So she says, so, how you feel about Amber?
I think, well, she's great. She's interesting. Things align.
Whatever. Whatever. You're supposed to be talking to me. You're supposed to be talking to me.
She literally says that.
We should have done this as a theater now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, my God.
You're supposed to be talking about me.
And they start talking about, like, what would you
do you want to know when you're going to die?
And he's like, yeah. And it's just these, she's not trying to get to know him at all. It's all these.
Absolutely not.
These, at this point, they shouldn't be asking general, like, first date cards you see on speed dating.
Did you hear her say, I'm all about finding the little romantic things in my life? This is all in the category of manifesting, and like being present. All of the things that you read in your like Darcy calendar every single day.
Yeah, that's
true. What they were going through. No offense to Darcy.
None taken.
So, and even Chelsea is talking about this in the girls' house. I did not expect to be dating in this way, because I think she gets this vibe from Micah.
Yeah.
That, and she's like, I don't trust Chelsea. Or I don't trust Micah. I don't trust that girl, basically.
And what's dangerous is that Chelsea and Kwame seem to have an authentic connection.
Yeah.
But Kwame is also, because he's too, honestly, maybe he is just too nice of a guy and people-pleasing. He is drawn into fucking Micah as well and thinks that's real.
Well, she's extremely manipulative.
Oh, yeah.
And so, y'all, Kwame and Chelsea are talking, and he's like, I just love it when women are wearing that Calvin Klein underwear. This is an extremely sexual scene. Chelsea's about to start finger-banging herself and gushing on the couch.
It's hot.
And Chelsea says, I want a spiritual connection with my husband's body. And y'all, he almost whips it out there.
He said, I feel like I have, I want, and she's like, when you do you make love or how do you, and he's like, oh, it's like a soul to soul.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Anyway. Oh my.
I love that band, Soul to Soul.
Soul
Decision. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Faded.
Faded, but I feel all right. Thinking about making my move. I like the way you're making me move. I like the way you're making me wait. At the end of the night, I'm going to go home. I'm going to come home to me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That video was hot. That video was part of my sexual awakening.
What wasn't? So
I always loved it in the 90s. I'm sorry, I have to say this. I always loved it in the 90s. Whenever someone was singing the song, they like in that song where they say, girl, you know you want it, and you know I got it. If I dated a guy now, if I dated a guy now and we were on a date, he was like, boy, you know you want it, and you know I got it. I would go, what? Because a little
You're
boy
so
band
easy.
That's what they called you in college. There goes easy.
But I claim it. So y'all, Kwame and of course Micah are having a date. And Kwame even says, okay, it was kind of miraculous how Micah turned this around.
Oh, it was like I'm terrified of her and props. Mad respect.
I kind of want to go study with her.
Yeah, she went to an Olga Poodleskaya type of school, Love is Blind.
Kwame starts the conversation with saying, so I want to be transparent with you. I have a very strong connection to someone else. Full stop. She's like, oh yeah? Well, and Kwame's like, if I was to write down a list that of the perfect girl, it would be her. And y'all, she interrupts him when he's talking about that was the craziest thing. That's where I gasped when she interrupts him talking about trying to explain himself. She's like, "Well, is it that she validates me more than you, or is it she validates you more than I do? She reciprocates feelings." He's like, "Yeah, point blank, yeah."
And she also said earlier, she's like, "I wonder how it's escalating so much with her if you feel like you have such a connection with me." So again, she's making it, how can you have this with her if you're connecting with me?
Yeah. That's not the way Love is Blind works.
No. And she says, she's like, "Well, when it comes to something this big, I hope you follow your heart, not what will feel good now." And he says, and because he's so fucking just emotionally like wants to be loved, you can tell. Kwame says, "Do you feel like we have something that could last?" And she says, "Oh, I see a future with you 100%.
And I wrote down, this chick is so competitive. She'll do anything to like cut off the other woman at the knees. And Kwame says, "I'm so sure about you. So we've already gone away," which makes me worry for Kwame.
It makes. Can we talk about this a little bit? Because this is where I went. That whole, I don't trust anyone right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. Do you not trust yourself, or are you switching on a dime like this because you're a duplicitous person? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know either. So then he says, "I guess I want to propose earlier." So we're already here. I went, what the fuck?
Her mouth drops and she's like, "Gunk."
And anyway, she brings up.
And she says, she validates that by saying, "I love to hear that. And that makes me feel so good."
In the next breath, she
says.
"You know, I'm kind of having feelings with another person, but he's like a slow burn and I need to investigate it thoroughly."
And flesh that out. So literally, she's having the same things he started with, but she's saying, she shamed him and said he was like weird for feeling that way. She's feeling the same way.
And then she effectively tried to neutralize the other woman he's talking to. And
because she immediately goes back to Arena when she gets into the woman's quarters.
And then she says to him, "I'm falling for you." And then jokingly, "Don't go falling for anyone else or I'll beat your ass."
Just kidding.
I don't know. Does this woman know she's going to get the villain edit? Does she have any idea?
No.
I don't think she does.
No. I think it's ironic. She said, "You need to not take what you feel good now. You need to think about the future."
Right.
Actually, I think that's only what Micah does, is what she's worried about now.
So back in the ladies' house where lots of shit goes down, Micah is talking to Arena, and Tiffany talks about falling for Brett. And then...
And she basically walks in, whereas with him, she's like, "Oh my God, I love hearing that." She walks up to all the ladies and she said, "He just told me he basically wants to propose. And the women say, "Oh, he's just trying to nail you down." And
right.
She's like, "Yeah, I know, right? Like, I can't do that." Like, she acts almost kind of like put off by him.
"I know, what? I didn't do anything." Y'all, this woman's going to be so hated.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she realizes that she is like, this is like major Regina George industry or energy.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Yeah. So Tiffany and Brett have another crazy, wonderful date of, she says, "Sometimes I picture in your head and I can't wait to meet you." And that's when we hear the brother story. Which she's talking about, seeing me, and you, this is a part where he says, he's explaining why he might not be so willing to pursue something right away.
Cause he's worried of it going away.
Props to him for even doing this experiment.
I really like him.
Part of me thinks this might've been a little too soon for him. I don't know how long this was.
It feels very close for him.
Yeah. And that he said my oldest brother dated someone for 10 years before getting engaged. So already he's putting that on whatever relationship this is. And he says, you know, at 3 a.m., I called him, his fiance called, haven't seen him, the brother had an accident. And he's like, and what crushed me is when he said, instead of a wedding, we were having a funeral. And I wrote down, holy shit.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
And he said, that made me consider my mortality. And y'all, Tiffany's just listening and she says, I'm not scared. Because he's worrying about having a relationship and what if something happens? You know, that kind of fear. Brett's bringing a lot of fear into this, which makes me worry a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
And she said, I'm not scared. I'm hopeful. I will try my hardest to make this work. And Brett just says, I'm so into you. And I go, oh, be good to me.
I love them. I really like them.
They're
both
my favorite. Hopefully they can escape Sleepgate.
I hope so too. Tiffany Van Winkle, bless her heart. So we get a little bit of Paul and Amber. He's got a bunch of New Orleans
Mardi
stuff.
Mardi Gras, there's boas and flowers.
Again, with all the sexual things. Do you sleep in the nude? And she was like, no. And they're talking about like if he's into other girls, and he's like, basically anybody's on the table except for Blit, whatever. They're just kind of making small. Yeah. Then Paul says, like, I'm not nervous about what you look like. And she says, well, I just am ready to go down the aisle again. He goes, what again? And she talks about marrying a fool. And see, I like Amber because Paul says, have you ever cheated on a spouse? Because he cheated on her. And he asked her, have you ever cheated on a spouse? And she said, no, I haven't. She's like, you know, but I could see, like, if I'd stayed in that relationship, how things could have gone.
Right.
In a very human way. And Paul totally goes, well, that's a red flag.
Oh, when he said that, it felt like such a betrayal. Because she was literally spilling her guts to him.
Yes, and it was human.
It was so judgmental. And she went, I like Amber. She said, I feel anxious. And he's like, I'm sorry. She said, you should be. And he should be.
He should be. He should be.
He is a dick, y'all. I'm sorry. He might be cute to y'all. He's kind of cute to me. He's a dick. I'm saying that now.
We're going to see him with his shirt off and you're going to be into him. He is very much your type when you were 27.
Yeah. I honestly don't think there's anyone who's like super my type this season. Maybe Brett. Brett is the hottest guy to me.
Oh, I'm so into Brett.
Yeah.
Ryland was cute, but
we haven't seen anything about Ryland. That. So, and that later on, y'all, the arena is gushing over the flowers that Amber, and you could already see Arena and Micah have become mean girls together.
Okay. So I started to like Arena, but like she kept going on and on and on about the fucking flowers. I was like, get off that.
And then, y'all, this is the thing about someone like Micah. If they sense similar makeup in someone else, they'll bond with them and they will create a double-headed monster. And that's what Micah and Arena are creating. And they're like, oh my God, it's so cute. It's so cute. It's so cute. It's so cute.
So cute. It's so cute.
And Micah just says, oh, she went on a date with Paul. Look at all these little things. Look at all the little things. And then they start making fun of the Mardi Gras thing.
Yes.
Right there.
Calling stupid.
I don't know if we've seen this level of cattiness.
It's not going to be good because one thing, especially on Love is Blind, the women usually come, this happened a lot on season 3.
Oh, yes.
The women come together and there becomes like a girl code and a bro code and they all support one another.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to get aired once they meet again.
And remember in season 2, the woman who broke girl code was Shayna. And it did not go well.
It did not go well for Shayna.
Yeah.
Shayna with her eyes.
That's who Micah reminds me of, is Shayna.
Yeah, they're
a little more dangerous.
more dang, because Shayna was kind of a loner and she acted all on her own, but Micah will bring and collect. And also Shayna was different. Shayna saw one guy and wanted the one guy. She was fine if the other guys didn't like her. She just wanted.
That's true.
Whereas Micah, like you said, Micah wants to win.
She wants to win. And Kwame is talking to Paul and he's like, yep, Micah's my number one.
Paul!
And
Paul, Queenie,
we gotta go take some stuff to my mom. I gotta bring her a nice tea.
Paul, God damn it, Paul, I'm hot.
I can tell by the bangs shellac to your forehead, mama.
Golly, back when reality gaze was just.
It was a fun time. Y'all, Micah and Paul are in a date, and already the first word out of, well, it was edited. First word that was edited was, so, Micah says, so, are you over there telling Amber that you love her? And Paul's like, you know, who do you see? And she's like, and Micah says, well, I fell in love. I feel like you're not all in with me. And y'all cast doubt on what someone is, and someone like Paul will have to backpedal. And that's what she's doing. Yep. It is a genius devil move.
Oh, yeah.
And y'all, he's like, well, who do you see yourself saying yes to? And she's like, you. And y'all.
Because when he even says like, well, I have time. She's like, well, I feel like that's not exactly what I want to hear.
Oh,
she literally wants all y'all. She just went through.
She wants all the guys.
And so then they get to this place where they're kind of talking and she says, well, it's really clear to me that that person is you for me.
Yeah. And Paul says, and then Paul says, sorry, Kwame, I'm going to have to choose me this time. And he's like, I guess I have to talk to Amber. Y'all, the next thing out of Micah's mouth.
Go ahead.
Micah's mouth gave me chills. She's like, well, if you're 100% going to do it, you just need to like do it quickly. It was totally Lady Macbeth. Screw your courage to the sticking place. Tell her right away and break her heart.
I never want to push someone because they're scared of the outcome. And I went, you just did. You just did do that. She's a spotted and you got and did you
she's feel a like, gargoyle. She's awful.
Like Paul that the Paul and Micah, didn't it feel like this is supposed to them saying I love one another, but didn't it feel joyless to you and just full of fear?
And it felt like they were about to go kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I've just seen Macbeth too many times.
Even when he said, well, now I have to tell Amber, why is your reaction so soft? Are you going to drag it out? And like, not? You should do it at the beginning when you talk to
That's
her.
That's what
right
I'm
at the
saying.
Beginning. Right at the beginning. Right at the
it
beginning.
Felt like she's like, and tell me about it. Can you record it so I can hear it?
And then he said, she's not going to take it well. And she goes, aw, and smiles. Did you notice that?
Yes. This person is awful.
She smiled at another woman's pain.
Oh, yikes. Y'all,
if that wasn't enough, I thought that was like, what else can happen this episode?
Amber, I'm sorry, Micah has no idea what she's in for. She's going to do one of those Danielle from Love in Paradise / Toe videos. Like, you all think, I've seen the hate that you dispense for me, and like, you're not me. It's very junior high energy.
Yeah.
Have you seen that video? Danielle.
I choose not to watch it. I can't.
And I'm like, first of all, bitch, have a million seats because you're not that famous yet.
No, you're not.
So Brett and Tiff, this is the big takeaway, y'all. He gives her a little white shoe. I expect a proposal. And
I did too.
And he's like, this is represents the beginning. And like, choosing, finding what makes you happy. And Tiffany says, I already feel like I'm in love with you. And Brett says, I don't really use those words, but I feel like we're the perfect match. And.
Y'all, if you didn't watch it.
But she doesn't snore. It's just quiet.
She literally falls asleep on the couch because we, even when he said, she said the word love, you see him kind of jolt and he says, that's just hard for me to say. So he says, Lou, this is hard and vulnerable for me. And then he starts talking about we're the perfect match. She falls asleep. He keeps saying her name. He's like, Tiffany, Tiffany, Tiffany. She doesn't wake up. He finally gets up and leaves and he walks back into the men's quarters and he's telling them what happened. And they're like, yo, that's cold.
I'm done.
He said, and then, I'm done.
Blackout.
I didn't watch the next episode. I was good. I know you already had to watch.
I may have watched the next 5 minutes.
You can't wait.
I didn't say it.
That's the episode, y'all. This
and
was
then
really long.
Cocaine
really long.
Bear comes in and wakes her up and mauls her. Who knew Cocaine Bear was a contestant?
Oh, no. There she is again.
And the Cocaine Bear was wearing Elizabeth Banks' terrible dress from the Oscars.
Yes.
Again, I love Elizabeth Banks, y'all. God, it hurts me when people I love wear terrible things. It hurts me.
It wasn't good, but she's probably mad that she's not hosting Press Your Luck like that other Elizabeth Smart.
She's a producer on that show.
I love Elizabeth Banks'
career.
She's fucking boss. Remember where you were? Remember when, y'all, you're an OG sissy if you remember when Maddie confused Elizabeth Banks and Elizabeth Smart.
I feel like that the heavens opened up for me in that day. It was like giving me food of the gods, like ambrosia rained down upon me. Because I calmly said, I think you're meaning Elizabeth Smart, or I think you're meaning Elizabeth Banks. Because Elizabeth Smart was kidnapped from her home and played the harp.
I thought Elizabeth
handled as a prisoner and a potential wife.
Potential. All right, potential. That's it, y'all. That's where I'm exhausted, but in a good way. This was a good talk.
I am excited about this season.
I'm very excited about this season.
I'm sure change.
It always does. Yeah, we loved what's his name and Alexa.
We loved Brennan and Alexa.
Yeah, Alexa. Thank you.
Alexa. We'll say Alexa.
Yeah, that didn't go off. Yeah, we loved them and that sure changed.
Ugh. Boy.
And you know,
I had to block them on Instagram.
I did too. You loved whatever her name is, the one who got cheated on, Pilates.
Raven.
And I didn't, and then I do. And I loved Nancy at the beginning, and you didn't love Nancy, and then we both. So it's like, yeah. So it just shows you there's a lot of flip-flopping on Love is Blind. So if this is your first season of Love is Blind, y'all, buckle the fuck up, because they're going to take you on a fucking ride. Yeah.
I still think Micah is going to be an absolute demon.
You know, I'm not a betting person, but I would bet money that she's going to stay true on this one.
Micah and Paul, I think, are going to cause absolute havoc this season.
Yeah. All right, everybody. That's your Love is Blind. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to continue, because all episodes that dropped today on Netflix are 24 hours ago, episodes 1 through 5, I believe. We have binged all of them as well.
Yes.
And so you can binge these episodes on our Reality Gaze Plus at our
You can do it right
tier.
Now.
Yes, on our Patreon or our Supercast. You can listen to all of those. Just go to realitygaze.com and you'll see the link for that. Or if you're listening on the free feed on your show notes, there's a little link you can click on your show notes that will take you to that. Again, if you want to do the $8 fee, you'll get all of our free feed shows commercial free for your
and the cringe tier. Movie. You're going to get Love After Lockup, moving into You, Me, and My Ex, Seeking Brother Husband, Extreme Sisters.
You're going to get a lot of trash that you shouldn't be watching, but you are anyway, and your husband judges you for it.
Cocaine Bear's Vault of Oddities.
No, we're not doing it. Don't promise something we might have to deliver on.
That's not a show. I just need to say Cocaine Bear as much as I need to.
I know.
God, I miss cocaine.
We need to move on. All right, everybody. Oh, God, I'm so scared of what you're going to say.
Don't do cocaine after 30. It's not good.
Sorry. Poodle, I just need to end this, and I need you to tell me, what is a question we're all going to hopefully get answered by the end of this season? What is it, Poodle?
In Vanessa Lachey's voice, is love blind?
Love is blind.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.